Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
Today on Happy, Sad, Confused, Adrian Palicki on Seth MacFarlane, her new show, The Orville, Wonder Woman, and Friday Night Lights. Hey guys, I'm Josh Horowitz. Welcome to another edition of Happy, Sad, Confused. Welcome to my podcast where I talk to some super talented people. And yes, that includes the wonderfully talented, wonderfully charismatic, delightful Adrienne Palicki. Her first visit to Happy, Sad, Confused. And she was great. As you know, I'm sure if you've listened to this podcast, we recently had Taylor Kitsch on. So, of course, Friday Night Lights is always a show that comes up around here. Big fan of that one. And if you know that show, you probably adore Adrienne Palicki as much as I. She was fantastic on that show. And yes, of course, we talk a little Friday Night Lights in this one. But, you know, more to the point, she's starring in a new show on Fox. If you haven't checked it out, I definitely recommend it. I've been watching it. It's called The Orville, and it's from the demented mind that is Seth MacFarlane's. Seth is a huge Star Trek fan, and this show is very much in the vein of Trek. It's particularly like kind of Star Trek The Next Generation, so it's kind of like very kind of comfort food for sci-fi fans. I'm certainly enjoying it, and Adrian plays Seth's character's like ex-wife and like first officer on the show. It's a kind of an odd blend of traditional sci-fi with some comedy, but maybe not as much comedy as you would expect from a Seth MacFarlane show. Anyway, it's the kind of show that you should experience and check out for yourself because the tone is very specific. It's doing quite well, actually, by the way. The show airs Thursday nights on Fox. Make sure to check it out. That's The Orville. Also in this conversation, we talk about a lot of things. Of course, as I said, Friday Night Lights, but also you know, all the many genre properties that Adrienne's kind of dabbled in over the years. She's done a lot of kind of sci-fi action stuff from G.I. Joe to John Wick. And yes, Wonder Woman. For those that don't know, she actually played, she's one of the select few that played Wonder Woman. It was a pilot, sadly, that was not picked up from the mind of David Kelly, a great writer. But she got to wear that suit and got to be Wonder Woman for a period of time. So we talk about that. And actually the fact that, and I didn't know this, that she very nearly played Wonder Woman in a feature film. So that is discussed in this episode as well. We talked a couple weeks back. This was taped when Adrienne was visiting New York for New York Comic Con. So for context, I think that comes up a little bit in the conversation. So anyway, I'm flying solo today. As you can hear, it's just me and my voice talking to you guys. Sammy is sadly not with me for the intro. Trying to coordinate schedules. Sammy's busy with a lot of stuff, so we're trying to figure out when we're like actually in the same room. Hopefully she'll be on next week's show and shows from there on out. But for now, we'll keep the intro short and go right to Adrienne's conversation with me. And of course, quick reminder, always, you know, review, rate, and subscribe Happy, Sad, Confused on iTunes. That does make a difference. It really helps. And in the meantime, I guess enjoy this conversation with Adrienne Palicki. Oh, look, it's Adrienne Palicki. Hi, Adrienne.
Hey, how are you?
So casual. It's good to see you.
I love it. It's good to see you.
Congratulations on the show. We're going to talk a lot about The Orville. I saw you guys in San Diego before the big debut. Congratulations. The ratings are really good, so you must feel good about that.
Yes. It's always that nervous, like, ripping off the Band-Aid. You're like, is it gonna go? Is it not going to go? Whatever.
And I haven't, like, absorbed, like, the actual numbers, but I've seen enough, like, headlines to be like, highest drama since something. Like, these are good. These are very good.
Exactly. Things. I don't understand any of it. So when the producers text me and go, you know what? We're doing well. I'm very, very happy.
They're good emojis. Yes. Not sad emojis.
Exactly.
Okay, that's all I need to know as an actor. You should know very recently in your seat was your good old friend Taylor Kitsch. He warmed the seat up for you.
Riggs.
I mean.
Come on.
We always love him. How did we just define? I'm still trying to define the Kitsch to people. Because, like, I don't understand.
What's up?
Oh my God, he and Derek Phillips, who played Billy Riggins, when they get together, they're two of my really dear friends, and it's just literally, I don't understand what they're saying. It's like they bro out.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of grunting.
So he invited me to hang out with him in Austin and stay over there, and I do not know if I can handle it. I am so not, I love Taylor, but I am so the other end of the genetic pool from Taylor Kitsch.
Oh, shush, you are not.
I mean, I can drink a beer and I can exercise, but I can't do it to the degree that I think Mr. Taylor Kitsch can.
Yes, it's crazy.
He might break me.
I mean, I'm a pretty athletic person,
yeah,
but he could make me vomit based on his regimen. I'm just telling you.
Okay, well, we'll get to Friday Night Lights. We'll come full circle. But we were just saying you're in town. You're in New York for New York Comic Con.
Yes. It's my first time.
Seriously?
I know.
That is surprising.
It's crazy. My brother goes every year because he's a comic book writer. But yes. I, you know, have yet to actually. I'm always working.
Right.
So this is a nice.
Well, you've done San Diego, and you've probably done it multiple times.
Oh, yeah.
So.
First time was for fun, and then the rest has been for work.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You're hardcore. Okay, we'll get to that, too. So, I mean, the New York is going to be a cinch. I mean, San Diego is still, like, the, as you well know, the mother load. Yes. Nothing can compare to that. But
It's not really a Comic-Con anymore. It's more of just, you know, a promotional.
It's a pop culture convention.
Exactly.
Yeah. But, yeah, your brother is like, that his full-time gig, like, comic books and all
he's
that kind
comic
of stuff?
Book, yeah, he's a comic book writer. We wrote one together recently called No Angel.
I noticed a little bit of a resemblance in the character.
Really? You did? You noticed that?
That total coincidence.
Total
the protagonist in No Angel might be a tall Adrian Pulkey like
exactly,
character
with red hair. Whatever, it's fine. It's very Red Dawn esque.
Has it? Yeah, exactly. Has it been fun to work with your brother?
Yes, always. He's one of my best friends.
What's the age difference?
He's 4.5 years older.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's me and my brother as well.
Yeah. It was a good dynamic. He like moved out and went to college, and that's when we kind of became really good friends.
Exactly.
You know.
It's just the two of you?
Just the two of us.
Gotcha. So, yeah, and because that's always, no matter how much antagonism there's always going to be, like, the influence. You're going to kind of, like, hey, I'll show you the music and the films and the TV I like, and you might resent it at first, but it also is going to inform you as a kid. Like,
absolutely. I mean, that's why I started liking comic books, because my brother read comic books. So, of course, I read, you know, Supergirl because I wanted to be tall and blonde and pretty when I grew up. You know what I mean? And Wonder Woman, and those are the things that I read, but I wanted to be like him, so.
Right.
You know, watching Monty Python. It was like, my brother watches Monty Python. I want to watch Monty Python. You know, like, everything. He really did, you know, inform a lot of, you know, culturally what I like.
So what's the comic book? What's the gist of the story in that?
It's kind of, you know, it's I don't know if you know the history of the Nephilim, which is, no. It's a part of the Bible, which ultimately when, you know, God sent down angels to kill men.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of enjoyed what they saw, and they raped and pillaged and whatever. And there's actual groups of people in the world who believe that this, you know, spawn actually exists, where it's half man, half angel. And so it's kind of about this woman. She comes home, an investigator to, you know, her father and brother have been murdered.
Mm-hmm.
So she starts to kind of investigate what's going on, only to find out that her dad was part of this cult in which he was part of the Nephilim. So she finds out she has a sister, she finds out she's part of this lineage, but it's a long evolved thing. But nice. it's very, you know, God, devil
mm-hmm.
thing, which I always love, that Constantine-esque
world. Yeah. So is the satisfaction in just doing the comic, or is it, I mean, you know, as I joked, you know, there is a resemblance, is the idea hopefully to adapt this to something?
Absolutely.
As well? Yeah.
For me that was kind of, you know.
Yeah, why not?
Absolutely. I was like, this would be a great character to play.
It's like, here, guys, look, there are storyboards for you.
Exactly.
What more do I have to do to show you?
And, you know, a comic, before you actually do have those, you know, pages, it looks just like a script. So I'm like, you know, that's all there for us. Totally. Come on.
So you were saying in town for New York Comic Con, but you said you went to a Comic Con even before you were there professionally. So.
Yes, I went with a friend who was going for work to San Diego. And then the next year, funny enough, I went for Legion. But yeah, the first time I went was just for fun.
Is it still fun? I mean, it's a job.
It's different. I mean, the first time I went, it was completely different than it is now.
Right.
I mean, right now it is a little bit of a circus. Yeah. I'm excited to go to this Comic-Con because I'm excited to see. My brother always talks about how much he loves this one because it's, you know, still legitimately a Comic-Con.
Yes.
As opposed to, you know, not promoting Glee. I mean, you know what I mean? It's not even comic book stuff.
That's always the fun game in every Comic-Con is to like be like, which 10 shows really, as much as I might love them, have no right to be here. And we're not going to talk about it, but we're just going to accept it.
Exactly. Like the Orville belongs. Like,
Orville works.
You know,
totally.
It does.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So yeah, it's going to be a different kind of event for you coming, because when you go to San Diego, that for something like the Orville, that's got to be a little bit nerve-wracking because you're showing it off kind of for the first time, and you're kind of like, it's almost like test screening it for an audience, and now you actually know.
And that is the audience. That's the thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if we blow it with this audience, then we're screwed.
did you sense in San Diego there was a openness to it?
Absolutely. People were so supportive, and we had the best panel, and you know, it's a hard show to describe to people because I don't think it's been done, and at least not for many years.
Yeah.
So to compare it to something's very difficult, and everybody wants to compare it to Star Trek, but it's like, it's not Star Trek.
Right.
It's a nod to Star Trek.
Yeah.
You know, it's a nod to Twilight Zone. It's a nod to, you know,
yeah.
Galaxy Quest. There's a lot of different things happening, but it's not, it's its own thing.
Yeah. I mean, I was telling you guys when you came into our silly little space in San Diego, legitimately, it was top of my list because I grew up with this stuff too, and I went to the conventions when I was a kid, and I was a huge Star Trek fan, and of course I loved Galaxy Quest, so I love like all the things that are influencing it, even if it's not a direct correlation. And I was saying to you when you came in here, like, it took me a second to recalibrate like what the show was, because my first hint was I was shocked when I heard it was an hour long. I was like, wait a second,
This
is an hour long. So that leads me to believe it's not necessarily a straight comedy, and it's certainly not. It's funny. I'm still kind of wrestling with how to describe it, but it's almost like real people, like real flesh and blood people put in like the Star Trek context to me. It's like people speaking the way you speak in that kind of absurd setting.
World. Exactly. And that's exactly what Seth wanted. He's like, you know, there has to be stakes. So it has to be set in some version of reality for us,
right,
as characters. You know what I mean? If we want to play the spoof, we could.
Yeah.
But it grounds it. By just going, you know, this is day to day, and yes, there's Bordas, and there's, you know, an artificial life form who happens to be smarter than everyone and also racist. You know what I mean? Right. It's like there's this really cool world that he's created, but it is very, very, very difficult to describe to people. But I mean, it was also that some of the promotional stuff was not necessarily, I think, accurate.
Sure.
You know, it was promoting it in the way of
Seth's
humor.
Image, and yeah, exactly.
And the response, though, thankfully, has been brilliant from the audience and the fans, which are the reason that any show survives.
I think
Friday Night Lights is a testament to that. You know,
the little show that could. It couldn't be
Thank
stopped.
God for the fans, man. Thank God for those footballs y'all sent in.
So did you get the tone from the get-go? Like, was it enough for like Seth to describe it and to read the first script, or did it take you a second to figure out like what show you were in?
I read it. And within the first five pages, which sadly enough, I mean, you really think about it, it's like...
It's quite an introduction, yeah.
I'm saying, like, the blue, you know, the blue alien scene sold me. I was like, I have to play this character, which is a weird thing for an actress to say, but I was like, it just, oh my God, I was crying laughing.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking to myself, I'm like, this is smart humor. I mean, throughout, you mm-hmm. know, there's levels, of course, that's a Seth MacFarlane moment. That's
sure.
a Family Guy moment.
Sure.
But there's so much brilliant humor in it and smart humor that kind of takes you a second. I love the humor that, you know, a minute later you're like, oh, that was funny.
Right.
It takes you, you know, into a different place. And then to see actually the finished product to me was different than how it played on paper. But I enjoyed it more because it reminded me of something I watched when I was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something in the late 80s, early 90s that was innocent.
Yeah.
You know, it's bright, it's colorful. At the end, you kind of feel good.
Yeah. It's kind of comfort food. It kind of feels, it does. It has a little bit of, it goes down easy. But even, and it also tackles, you know, issues and political issues and sociological issues in a way that I think Seth, it's funny. Seth is that weird mix, isn't he? He's kind of like high and lowbrow. He's a super smart guy who also likes, you know, poop humor. Like,
yes.
And that's kind of like the beauty of Seth MacFarlane.
Exactly.
And that's why the show works.
He's a hard person to describe as well. So the show works perfectly for that reason.
So, and you just said you just wrapped the first, was it 12 or 13 episodes?
13 episodes.
Nice.
Yes.
That's a grind, though. I mean, you're no stranger to that kind of, like, schedule, like the hour-long drama.
Absolutely. This schedule was harder than most because we're developing a world.
Right.
And that's never been, and this is also, you know, Seth's dream. He moved to Los Angeles for this show, to do this show. So everything had to be perfect. And it's one of my favorite things about him is how, you know, much of a perfectionist he is in that world because he cares about it so much. And so it did. It took time and hours and, you know, it will always get easier as first season is always the hardest, you know. But it was also so enjoyable because we're all friends, you know. A lot of us knew each other before we started shooting. So
is that
it was,
right?
Yes.
So what did you know Seth from a particular project or you just met
Seth
socially
and I
or
campaigned
whatever?
For Obama in 2008 and, well, actually 2007. And, he was... that we became really dear friends. So we've known each other for 10 years.
Nice.
I've known Jaylene for 10 years and, you know, and Jaylene and Scott have known Seth for 20. So it's like there's weird family that it was already there.
As we take this, the Charlize episode, I think it's one episode, right? Hasn't aired yet. I'm very excited to see her mix it up because she's one of my favorite human beings on the planet. Did you get to do anything with her? Or she's awesome. I mean, I would think, in the tall, cool actress club, you've got the private club.
Absolutely. And I'd met her previously because of Seth. Mm. And I always thought that she was very, very cool. And, you know, she's somebody who likes women, which as an actress in Hollywood is very, very hard to come by. I know it sounds crazy, but, you know, she's so lovely. She's powerful. She's strong, but she's kind of like a dude. And I love that about her.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, she and I have a scene that most men, I think, are going to be very happy about.
Ooh, exciting. I'm going to double DVR it now. Just record twice on my DVR. And what are you guys doing at New York Comic Con? Are you showing just new footage and new episode stuff?
I have no idea.
You just go where they tell you.
I do. Just like, go and talk about things. I'm like, great. This is fantastic. I think we're showing an episode. I don't know if we're showing an episode. We're doing a panel.
Going to wave a little bit, sign
Seth's
some things.
Seth's going to Skype, you know. It's going to be me, Scott, and Penny.
Have you ever had to do the Comic-Con thing where, like, you do the step and repeat and you pose with fans for, like, 3 hours awkwardly?
Oh, yeah.
How awkward is that? Be honest.
It's a little awkward. Hey, how are you?
I love the photos that come out of, like, someone just, like, you're standing in one place and, like, everybody is next to you and it's just...
You know, if people are giving you drinks in those moments, it's fine.
Right.
Because by the end of it, you really have no idea what you're freaking doing.
Gotta pace yourself.
Where you're at, you know? Hey, as long as you can stand up, it's all that matters.
You could get a stool, you know?
Exactly.
By then you're in a bed. Why is she sleeping? Does this count as a photo op? She's sleeping?
Totally. She's there. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly. Her presence is felt. Her snoring gives it away. Do you remember the first time that you were kind of like recognized, that you were acknowledged for work? I mean, you're a striking figure in that, like, you're tall, so I would think there's always, like, you know, people probably notice you.
Definitely,
but there's a difference
because of my height, for sure. The first time, because, I mean, I've lived in L.A. and I've lived in Austin. We shot, you know, Friday Night Lights, so people were very, very supportive. Yeah. And it wasn't – they would just come up and be like, thank you, because it was helping the town and everything else. L.A., everybody's in the industry, so, like, nobody really cares.
Right.
The moment it happened, which shockingly for me, was it was 7 years ago or something like that. I was walking in Soho in New York. Because New Yorkers are awesome. And
we're cool about it.
But very cool, you know? Whatever, it's fine.
Little head nod, like, hey.
Oh, okay. But Friday Night Lights fans are awesome and insane in the best possible way. And I just hear, walking, it's like Christmas. Yeah. Oh, my God, it's Tyra! In, like, the middle of Soho. I'm just like, like a sardine. And I'm like, oh, my God. And everybody turns, and that was my first moment of going.
There was a flash mob. They just ran after you. It was like a hard day's night. You're running in the streets.
Oh, my God. It was also awesome because I was like, thank God we have this many fans for the show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you're recognizing me, then you're really watching the show.
So what is the, because this is a show that will, I was going to say for good or for bad, there's no real bad. It's going to follow you till the day you die. Like, mm-hmm. this is one of those shows that, like, even if the audience wasn't like a billion people, the people, as you say, that watched it, like, it really touched them. It must be a day-to-day part of your life in some degree still when people go up to you. Like, what are the things they still say to you today when they interact with you?
Well, because, you know, the thing is that show is relevant no matter when you watch it.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people started watching it now, which is why you still get, right. you know, acknowledgement for it. The coolest thing that ever was said to me about Tyra was that, you know, I've had girls come up to me and be like, she's the reason I went to college. And, like, that really...
That's amazing.
That means a lot because yeah. that character went through a lot to get there. And so that's the point. You know, Jason Kadams called me the end of the third episode, and he was like, or the third season, and he's like, Palicki, I really don't want to lose you on the show. But I also am, like, torn because I really think Tyra should go to college. And I was like, she needs to go to college. Otherwise, this whole thing has been in vain.
Yeah.
If she stays in this town and, you know... has fought for this thing and doesn't get there, then it's just as much as I wanted to stay on the show.
Sure.
You know.
Were you happier when Tyra was with Kitsch or Plemons? Who were you rooting for?
I loved the dynamic of Landry because yeah. it was, you know, but I loved in the fifth season, like when she comes back, she's supposed to be with Riggins.
Right.
And I think the spinoff of Tyra and Riggins would be amazing and they take over for Coach.
Right.
And, you know, she becomes Tammy Taylor.
Should we start texting Taylor right now? Just see what we can do?
Abso-friggin-lutely. I mean, it'd be a much more tumultuous relationship, you know? A little bit more, you know, Desperate Housewives, but, you know.
Right. Was that a game changer? Not even just in terms of career. I'm always curious about that show in, like, the approach to that show. The way that Pete Berg shot the pilot and set the template and how improvisational it was and how loose and... It had an immediacy for the audience, and I'm sure for the actors. Was it unlike anything you'd ever shot before?
Absolutely, and it's the reason I'm the actor I am today, because it was like acting school every day.
Yeah,
you really have to step up, and there were so many amazing actors on that show. And when you're improvising with them, and you're, you know, having to step up to the plate, and you know there's no marks, which you're used to, kind of like go stand here, say this line.
Yeah.
Oh, you messed up your line.
Do
step
it five
back.
Times. All right.
You know what I mean? This is like, no. The mess-ups are the best thing. You know, here's your space. We have three. Oh, you looked in the camera because you don't know where they're at. It's like that kind of feeling. So everything was very, very, very realistic. It was actually hard going from that to something else.
I would imagine.
I was like, oh, I forgot there's marks, and I don't like doing this. <You know? laughs> But no, it's the reason that I'm the actor I am today.
Yeah.
Thank God for Pete Berg.
Was there a mourning period after Friday Night Lights, the realization that there might be good projects that come and go? There's not going to be something that was exactly that will replicate that kind of experience.
Absolutely. I think until Orville, I was just very, very, very aware of the fact that was going to be the best thing I ever did. And now I'm, you know, in a situation where I'm doing a very close second.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's just a completely different experience. So I could even say it's equally as wonderful. It's just, it's different, but
yeah.
It's up there.
So, and I know we're jumping around, forgive me, but I mean, working with someone like Seth, who is, I don't even know, triple threat, whatever you want to count it. Like he's a writer of many, if not all the episodes I know. So is that weird to be acting opposite the writer? Is that an advantage? Like, if you fuck up a line, are you like, oh, I'm fucking it up in front of the writer? Like, is that a whole nother dimension?
It's an advantage for sure, because here's the thing, you know, I'm not, as much as I love doing comedy and I've done it, I haven't done this much comedy.
Right.
And that's scary. And to have this guy next to me who's going, you know, helping you through it and being your support system is really, really awesome. And also it is kind of nice if you flub something and he goes, oh, no, that's better. That's better. You know, you keep that. You know what I mean? And that, nice. That freedom to feel that way.
So what's the best note he or someone have given you in terms of, like, playing comedy? Is it not to play the comedy? Is it just
to... Yeah, absolutely. It's just a bit, you know, play it straight. And my character, Kelly, is the right. straight man, but that's where the humor comes from. Same thing like Bordas.
Right.
Things that come out of his mouth, because he's so straight about it, is...
The straighter he plays it, the better.
Oh, my God. And yeah. his voice.
Right.
It's phenomenal. Yes.
Where do you guys shoot it? And the sets and the makeup and everything about it just
feels... We shoot at Fox Studios in Los Angeles.
Oh, nice.
But they built this ship. It's two stories. I'm telling you, they put an engine on this thing. It could actually fly. I mean, it's massive. All the you know, corridors are right. functional. They go all the way around. It's... unbelievable. We have the most amazing, team.
I'm inviting myself over for next
you
season.
You have to. I would love to. You have Howard Berger, who's, you know, an Academy Award winning makeup artist, right, who pops on these, and his team pops on these prosthetics in like 2 hours and make Bortus look like Bortus.
That's,
you
crazy.
Know?
Back
and,
in the day, that would have like been 6 hours. But
or CGI'd.
Yep.
You know?
So, okay, so let's go back. So you grew up in Toledo.
Yes.
You're the first Toledo guest on Happy Sad Confused, the podcast. Welcome. As far as I know.
That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, Katie Holmes.
Oh, yeah, Katie has not been here.
So, yeah.
Okay. So what do I need to know about Toledo? What is there to know about Toledo? this speaks volumes.
You got to go to Tony Paco's.
Okay.
It's Hungarian.
Okay.
And it's the best hot dog you'll ever have, sausage.
Nice.
And
go back often, do you?
Nope.
Oh. Any family back there still?
I do. Most of my family. My brother lives in Seattle, and other than that, the rest of my family's there. My parents come out to see me as often as possible, but you know, I loved growing up there. It was an incredible place to grow up. I also felt like it was a great place to leave.
Yeah.
And I respect it so much. It's just, you know.
It wasn't the right fit for you.
It was not the right fit for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when did you start acting? Was it in high school?
It was in high school. I started doing plays and musicals.
Mm-hmm.
And the first play I ever did, Lend Me a Tenor, was when I realized that I wanted to do that for the rest of my life. Like, truly knew I wanted to do that. And the last one, which was The Wiz, I decided I had to and I could. And so I was filling out college applications,
right,
17 years old. And I remember when both of my parents were in the house, and I said, I put down my pen and paper, filling out college applications. I said, I'm going to move to New York and I'm going to be an actress. My dad just put his head down and shook his head. My mom started screaming, and rightly so. So my best friend and I, we ended up running out the NYU dorms, which they do over the summer for like dirt cheap at the right time. It was like $400. And lived in Greenwich Village, and you know,
and you survived somehow. You're not dead.
I spent a month there because that was all the money I had. I remember her and I going and like splitting a veggie burger at, you know, some little shop just to feel like we were out in the world. You know what I mean? Then I realized very quickly that I was not going to be on Broadway that way.
So how long did you spend here?
I was only here a month.
Literally just that month.
And I auditioned in front of a bunch of casting directors and agents, and I got an agent out of L.A., which was really Costa Mesa. I didn't know the difference. And moved back to Ohio, worked two jobs for a couple months, and my dad drove out with me and didn't know anybody in L.A. and worked a million jobs, made sandwiches, worked at the Magic Castle,
right,
you know, cocktail waitress, DJ, all the things.
Now, do you look back on that time fondly, or like, oh, thank God I made it through that?
Thank God it only took me 2 years. I mean, I've known people been there for 20, still trying to make it, and it's a difficult feat. But I was ballsy. I think now I'm like, I would absolutely never do that again.
So, meaning you just had a lot of self-confidence, you felt like, of course, this is going to end up happening, or that's...
I moved out there with the sense that if I'm 50 and I'm still waiting tables, this is still what I want to do, because there's nothing, I had no fallback plan.
Right.
That was it. That's all I wanted to do. I knew I would not be happy doing anything else.
And what was the kind of, I can only imagine the kind of stuff you had to go out for at first.
Oh, everything, you know, where the bikini was involved, for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
So what's that like to have to, like, do those kind of auditions and those jobs at first? Is that kind of soul crushing, or kind of like, it is what it is?
What it is, you know, it's just whatever. You know what I mean? You're like, if I'm getting paid and I'm acting and I get my SAG card, this is all that matters.
Yeah.
And I'm keeping my clothes on pretty much, so it's fine.
What degree of grossness did you have to deal with in terms of casting director? Like, were people relatively cool, or would it confirm my view of humanity that there was kind of gross people out there?
There's gross people out there, but there's just really like happy things that are said to you. I wore my hair curly for, because I have naturally curly hair. I wore my hair curly for an audition, and my manager calls me and says that the casting director thinks I should never wear my hair curly again for an audition because it makes my face look fat on screen. I mean, stuff like that. You know what I mean? And it's like, to this day, I'm still kind of scarred by it. Clearly. I'm like, I'm not going to wear my hair curly then. Because my face looks bad.
It's horrible.
It's horrible.
And so what's the first job? What's the first job you put on the resume that you either were proud of or not proud of?
Well, I'm not going to say the one I'm not proud of. Wow.
Is it on the IMDb? Is it somehow flushed from the system?
Just say Danny Trejo is in that movie. First thing I really did that kind of broke my career was John Woo did a pilot. It was a remake of Lost in Space.
Yeah, and I played Judy Robinson. Resume. I was fascinated by this, both by that it's Lost in Space and then John Woo of all people.
It was awesome. And you know what? He figured out a way to make doves fly in space.
It was awesome. So you were Judy. You were the girl.
Yep.
That's so fun.
Yep.
Was it like actually a decent pilot or just not work?
You know, it never got finished. I mean, we shot the whole thing. It's just that it was so expensive.
Yeah.
And we went way over, and
sure,
they went through different writer. It was a thing.
Wait, but there weren't actually doves in space, were there?
Origami. And it was a slow motion, and that's how I saw the guy I was interested in.
That's amazing. Does this video exist anywhere?
My parents have a copy of it that I gave to them on VHS.
Amazing. When was the first of the you've been associated with and been cast in a bunch of comic book related projects?
Yes.
Smallville, the first one.
Smallville was the first. Yeah. I mean, after Lost in Space, but yeah.
Right.
And
there was the Aquaman pilot.
Yep. Supernatural. I mean, I've had a lot of genre jobs, for sure.
So of all the ones that we know about, like comic book related, how many do I not even know about that you went up for? Like, are those basically the ones that you were?
Oh, I was Justice League.
Which incarnation of Justice
League? George Miller was going to direct.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I actually had that role for a second.
Which one?
Wonder Woman.
Oh my God. Wait, what do you mean you had it for a second? What happened?
Well, they needed more actors from Australia. Nice. And yeah.
To make it work financially for them to actually shoot there.
Yep. And they found a woman who literally, I mean, she was an Amazonian.
Woman. Yeah.
Which was awesome. But, and I wouldn't have been able to do the rest of Friday Night Lights if I'd done it. But,
That must have been luckily.
Thankfully, because they were there for 6 months. And yeah. I mean, Armie Hammer will tell you all about it.
Yeah. I just had Jay Baruchel in here. He has amazing stories that he was like the bad guy in that film.
Yeah.
That's like the most infamous like project that never was that I'm obsessed with.
God, it would have been George Miller doing that movie.
Oh,
are you kidding me?
God.
And the stuff. I mean, the things that I've seen from it.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
The way it was, you know, supposed to be done.
So that was a big one.
That was a big one.
You ended up getting Wonder Woman, of course.
I did.
Is that weird that's again one of those things that's always gonna come up, even though like it didn't actually it happened. You shot a pilot and you got to wear the costume.
I got paid to wear the costume. We shut down Hollywood Boulevard, which had never been done for a TV series before,
mm-hmm.
which was fun.
David E. Kelley, that's an amazing.
I love David E. Kelley. The whole experience was amazing. I'm over it now.
Right.
There was a good 3 years where people would bring it up I'd be like.
Really? Don't mention my curly hair either.
Yep. That's about right. But now it's like I'm so proud that they've made a movie. I'm so proud that they're, you know, really taking these female characters seriously, and it's a character that deserves to be out there.
Totally. Yeah, and you're in a different place, as you said. You're in a project that you're proud of. They've done well by them, by their own right. So it's like now you can feel like you can talk about it without the wound. The wound's
healed.
Absolutely,
absolutely.
Right. So, and then of course, what am I missing in the genre world? Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Fun, enjoyable experience.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Playing Mockingbird.
Yeah,
that was fun.
Now, did you ever get to shoot the kind of like potential spinoff thing?
We did. It was actually great. ABC
just one of those things.
Yeah.
TV side of Marvel, they're still figuring it out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they got the Netflix version figured out, I feel like.
Yeah.
It's, you know.
Yeah.
Yes. So, but no, it was, I mean, Agents was super fun, and I love those groups of people. I love that they're all going to be at Comic-Con, and
yeah.
I'm so excited to see them. They're my friends,
they're,
you know?
The best. Clark Gregg is one of my favorite human beings.
Clark Gregg, Ming-Na is one of my favorites.
She's super funny. She's like wild. She's a
crazy
lady.
She's absolutely not that character.
I know. I mean, I didn't realize that until I started to talk to her.
She has the grossest sense of humor,
yeah.
And I love it.
I had no idea. Like, yeah. Because I've done more with the rest of them, and I think she was part of a group interview at Comic-Con a couple years ago, and I was like, oh, you're a crazy lady, in a best possible way.
Oh, absolutely. She kept me young.
Nice. So what do you, I mean, you continually, I'm sure, get, you know, in the running for these kind of cool genre properties. Like, is that where you're, it sounds like that's what you grew up with to a degree, and it's what you're into anyway. That being said, is like, are you not thought of for certain kinds of roles that you wish you were, or is it, are you satisfied with the kind of like the box that you're in terms of Hollywood?
Well, you know, it's like, I don't feel like I am in a box, you know, and I think this show is very, it makes that very clear in the sense of like, yes, it happens to be a genre show, but it's the characters, you know, funny, smart, strong, vulnerable.
Right.
Kick ass. You know, like I get to embody a lot of different things in this. There was definitely that like, okay, she's only an action chick.
Right.
For a while.
Right.
Which I didn't mind.
Did that come out of John Wick or before John Wick? When was that?
That was before John Wick. Uh-huh. Wonder Woman. I had Wonder Woman and then it was like G.I. Joe.
Right.
You know, it was that changed everything.
Right.
You know, they called for John Wick because they wanted, you know, somebody who could do stunts.
Yeah.
But I really enjoy doing it. It makes me feel like a badass.
Yeah. And again, if you're working with the right people, I mean, if you're going to do it, you do it on John Wick.
Yeah.
Like, that's the best team of people to work with.
Absolutely.
Kind of thing. I don't even remember. I visited you guys on set when you were actually shooting your fight scene in that film. And it was before, like, it was just like a Keanu action movie. Like, oh, maybe, I don't know, is this going to be released? Who knows? I mean, who knows what this is?
Right.
And then it turned into, like, the coolest action movie of the decade.
I know.
Did you know, like, the pedigree of, like, those guys? They were the Matrix guys and everything. Did you know, like, it was going to be on that level when
Absolutely.
You signed on?
Absolutely. I mean, I knew that it was going to be on that level as far as what I read.
Yeah.
I was, like, first, I read the script. And actually, when I read the script, my character was named David Perkins. It was a dude.
Mm-hmm.
I love that they kept everything the same. They just changed the name.
Nice.
But, yeah, no, just working with them and how diligent they were and how, I mean, I worked really hard. They put me through, you know, hell and back to learn jiu-jitsu, which was awesome. And I'm glad they did because it made that fight sequence a really big standout in the movie. But it was hard work, and they're such hard workers, and I've never worked with better stunt people in my life.
I'm sure.
It was through and through.
That's one of the highlights, I'm sure, on the film side of your career. The film stuff's harder probably to find, like the juicy kind of like rewarding stuff. I mean, looking at your filmography, arguably the best stuff has probably been on television for you personally that you felt rewarding. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've had fun. Like I did a movie last year that came out called Baby, 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 which it's a romantic comedy, which I really love. And, you know, doing those things that are a little bit different.
Yeah.
Also really rewarding because, you know, it's like, oh, I still can do that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. Didn't throw one punch in that movie. But yeah, I'd say it's probably safe to say that the most rewarding stuff has been on television because you get to play a character arc.
Right.
You know, you get to play something throughout that's creating something that's not short-lived.
Sure.
Or, you know, put into a little, you know, area in which you have to show a lot in a very minimal amount of time.
Is it tough to find male co-stars that can literally stand toe-to-toe with you or higher? I think Red Dawn got it right. They got Hemsworth. So
yes.
He actually is one of the few people that can
hover over me.
Exactly.
Taylor is just slightly taller than me.
Okay.
Yeah.
That works. Do we want to say where Seth is? I don't know.
Seth is taller than me.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's a good inch taller than me.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So we're getting there.
Are you like the old fun like stereotype of like, oh, I was tall and I was awkward and gangly. Oh, I didn't know what, I mean, where my limbs went when I was a kid.
I was knock-kneed, dude. I had a fro and I was knock-kneed.
Okay.
My brother will validate this claim. In fact, he'd probably show you a picture. I was not, and I'm thankful for it because I think it made me the person I am today, but I was definitely not attractive for a good portion of my life.
And we're always that kid inside.
You know? Exactly.
Right. We're always stuck at 12 or whatever. And
yeah, that really awkward phase where people are making fun of you. Absolutely.
Totally. When did you get the first tattoo?
I got my first tattoo when I was 19, and I was a bit drunk, and I was into astrology, mm-hmm. as most 19-year-old, you know, girls in Los Angeles are. What's your sign? And so I was like, well, I'm a Taurus, so I'm going to get a bull.
Right.
And it was the only one I went in and went, I'm going to get that. And it's the Merrill Lynch logo. So that was my first tattoo.
Your first endorsement deal before you knew it.
It was actually Zach Guilford walking up, you know, the stadium stairs at Friday Night Lights. He was like, why do you have Merrill Lynch on your ass? Because also it happens to be my tramp stamp, which is
classic,
even better.
Yeah.
So that's my That was my first one. And then I was stuck. Then I probably got, on Friday Night Lights, I probably got 6 tattoos.
Wow.
Because.
Was this going in on with other, is this like a Lord of the Rings style thing where everybody got it in together or just you yourself?
I'm just addicted to them. And my character, first of all, Friday Night Lights never worried about continuity at all. Right. I mean, I got my hair cut during episodes. Like there's an episode in the second season where my hair is like 2 inches shorter in the second scene of it. But yeah, no, I would show up like every episode with a new tattoo.
They're fine with it.
They just were like, as long as it's.
Have you stopped now? Where are you at now?
No, I just got a new. I was just in Dublin, and
arrow here. Very nice.
I got this one for my dad. It's a green arrow.
And what you've been mysterious about the Supergirl one, about the location. I'm not going to ask location. What is it? Is it literally
just the logo?
The logo of Supergirl.
But I got it for Supergirl, not Superman.
Of course, yeah.
I mean,
let's be clear. Superman gets enough love.
Supergirl. That was my second tattoo.
That was your second, after the Merrill Lynch.
Yep. It's 21 in South Beach.
What's a good starter tattoo for someone considering their first tattoo? Because it's clearly not the Merrill Lynch logo.
Don't do the Merrill Lynch logo.
Don't do anything that can be misconstrued as a logo.
Absolutely. What I would do is do your research and not go into some place and say, I want that off the wall.
Right. Maybe be sober?
Maybe soberish. I mean, listen, take a couple shots before you do it.
Sure.
But, you know, go in with full and, you know.
Exactly. Make the choice. And then once they get the gear out, right. then you can start to drink.
Then you can start to drink. Numb yourself just slightly. just pick something that, you know, you're not going to regret.
Yeah. Don't do the Mike Tyson face tattoo if you're going to be an actor.
Absolutely. And never, ever, ever get your significant other's name. It is the kiss of death. It is the kiss of death.
You don't have that, do you?
No.
Did you date someone named Supergirl at some point, or Merrill Lynch?
I have my ex's face on my stomach.
Please say that's a lie. Oh my God. How did you not end up in Austin like many of your friends? Did you ever have a place there?
I have a place there now.
Oh, you do?
I'm back and forth.
I didn't realize that.
Yes.
You're making it work.
I know. It's my sanctuary.
What did something's in the water there? Everybody that on that show just fell in love and
it's
can't let go.
The only place I felt like home ever in my life. It's like I walked into that situation and I was like, this city is a city that I believe I was supposed to be born in, and so I would go back all the time. And yeah, I finally bought a place there, like everybody else.
Excellent. So when I visit Taylor and he murders me or is killing me, I'm going to call you and be like, help me. He's hurting me.
Absolutely.
He thinks we're having fun, but I'm not having a good time.
I'll come pick you up.
Adrian, help me.
We're going to go have drinks.
Okay, but send me back to my apartment in New York. I need to go to bed. I don't want a tattoo.
Oh, you're not going
to
sleep. You're not going to sleep in Austin.
I don't want
to. Okay. Between the two of us, no.
Congratulations on the show. I hope you have a great time at New York Comic Con. I'm sure you will.
Thank you.
It's always good to see you, and I'm looking forward to what comes next on the show.
Thank you. So good to see you.
Thanks for talking about it.
And so ends another edition of Happy, Sad, Confused. Remember to review, rate, and subscribe to this show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm a big podcast person. I'm Daisy Ridley, and I definitely wasn't pressured to do this by Josh.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
You love podcasts. The stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.